Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is our final draft season episode of the 2024 draft season. And fittingly, it's a look ahead to 2025. Draft season is brought to you by Moody's Decode Risk. Unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. I am John Schmelk, joined as always by my partner in crime, Tony Pauline. You can find all his work on SportsKita.com. And Tony, we've had about a week and change to think about the 2024 draft. So anything else kind of cross your mind over the last week as you've put your feet up, took a dip in the pool, went to the beach, and relaxed a little bit over the last week thinking about the 2024 NFL draft?
Yeah, I wish I could go to the beach, but it's not that warm yet. nothing really. Except, you know, now you're starting to hear about teams that wanted to trade up, teams that wanted to trade down. Obviously, I think that Brock Bowers was a hotter commodity than people think because the Colts tried to trade up. But I mean, when you look at it, I mean, nothing really different from what I first thought. When you look at the numbers, there were 11 centers who were drafted, which I thought was a very large number. Now, Graham Barton, Jacob Monk, Gargiulio, the kid from South Carolina, they all project to center. They're not true centers, which kind of reduced the numbers. Then again, Jackson Powers Johnson was drafted as a guard. But I think when we came in here, we thought that center was a relatively weak position. You had Graham Barton, Jackson Powers Johnson, and then it dropped off. But when you look at the numbers, there was actually a lot of players who were at that position or projected that position that were selected in the draft. That was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, and it was such a heavy offensive draft, Tony. We talked about it, right? You got more defensive guys on day two, but in day one, only 9 defensive players. The first 14 players picked were all offensive players. And now looking ahead to next year in 2025, at least at early look, I think it's going to be a little bit of the opposite, right? I think it's going to be a really strong defensive draft class in the front. I think you're going to have some really good corners in this class as well. So those are guys at premium positions. So this is a cyclical thing with the NFL draft, right? It swings year to year, and I think next year we're going to have a much more front seven defense-oriented type of draft with some corners in the mix as well.
I mean, that's the way it looks. College is a wide-open game. One read game, and how do you stop that passing game? Well, you got to have good cornerbacks, and they will eventually filter into the NFL draft, and that's the way it looks for 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, but let's start with the big names. Obviously, people want to talk about the quarterback position here, Tony. I took a brief look. I had watched enough Quinn Ewers this year just because we thought he might come out, right? And we were watching a lot of Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell and Jatavion Sanders. So I saw a lot of Quinn Ewers. I didn't watch any more of him. I also watched Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck, and Jackson Dart. Those are the 4 quarterbacks that I kind of watched coming into this process to have this conversation with you. And Jalen Milroe, I watched on TV a lot too, right? Obviously the Alabama quarterback that made a lot of strides. And my kind of, top view, 20,000-foot thing from watching these guys, if I had to bet on one guy right now, I think I'd bet on Carson Beck out of Georgia. I like his stature. I think he throws over the middle really well. Shedeur Sanders has the wow plays. He moves around well. He's mobile. Throws a great deep ball, but I want to see more than just the deep ball. Hopefully he gets better protection this year because that offensive line was a mess. So to his defense, he wasn't given the opportunity to do a lot of that stuff.
You know, a lot of people said, you know, you better get your quarterback this year because next year it doesn't look like a quarterback draft. And I'd say be careful about that because, you know, coming into the 2023 season, we knew about Caleb Williams. We knew about Drake May. But if I told you at this point last year when we were doing the show, or even in September of 2023, that Jaden Daniels was going to be the second pick of the draft, you would have laughed at me. If I told you that Michael Penix was going to have the year that he had and be a top 15 pick, you would have laughed at me. Bo Nix, we knew about Bo Nix. We didn't think he was going to be the top 12 pick, the 12th pick of the draft, but we did think he could be a late first rounder. The reason I said it is I see a lot of upside with these guys.
Yeah, me too.
I like Sanders' game a lot. Yeah, he's got to do more. Yes, he needs more protection. I don't think the fact that it's complete chaos in that program because of his father is going to help the situation. But if Shedeur Sanders is able to play the entire 2024 season the way he did the beginning of 2023 when he looked terrific, I mean, he is going to be probably, I dare say, as highly rated as Caleb Williams. He has
a little shorter, but he's got all the tools.
And he makes plays in the pocket. I think he plays from the pocket better than Caleb Williams. He's also able to make plays on the move as well. Carson Beck, I like. Jalen Milroe, I think Jalen Milroe has that Jaden Daniels type of potential.
Absolutely.
He's bigger. He's more athletic. I saw a guy who maybe didn't show the same level of progression in his game that Jaden Daniels did last year, but he was a much better passer and a much better quarterback at the end of 2023 than he was at the beginning of 2023. He really turned from athlete and, you know, running quarterback who occasionally runs, who occasionally passes, into a passer. I love his upside. Quinn Ewers is sort of like the Drake May in the sense that his good tape is outstanding. But sometimes he makes some throws and there's some plays you're like, what's going on? What is he thinking about? So Quinn Ewers is one of those guys where if he plays well, he's going to have Arch Manning breathing down his neck. So he better be on the top of his game on every single snap. But again, you know, his great tape is good. The bad tape is kind of head scratching.
I'm not sure, real quick, Tony. I don't think yours has the overall toolkit that Drake May has, though, in terms of arm strength and stuff like right. that. He reminds me a little bit more of like Bo Nix in terms of the level of his, you know, arm. He can move around a little bit. You know, that's more the level of the prospect that I see him being. Now, again, I never thought Bo Nix would go top 15, so maybe I shouldn't say this because I'll look like a fool. Like, I'd be surprised if yours played to the point where he's a top 15 pick next year myself.
Maybe. But again, you know, I go back to Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix is a top 15 pick. Yeah. I think the wild card in all of this is Jackson Dart.
I liked him. I liked his tape, Tony. I thought it was good.
I don't know why Jackson Dart doesn't get more love. I've always thought of this guy as a potential first round pick. You know, maybe it's the system, but he's had great success with a lot of different receivers. I think he made the right decision going back to school. But, I mean, if there's a wild card at the top of the draft, or at least within the first 32 picks on my board, it would be Jackson Dart, who I have a lot of affection for Jackson Dart's game.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's the system, Tony. You know, they run that, you know, air raid style. It's a lot of vertical stuff. So maybe people have a hard time, you know, getting a feel for him. But he's a pretty good athlete. He's got really good touch and accuracy going down the field. I'm with you. If he can develop a little bit, I think we could easily have two. You know, this is not going to be the Kenny Pickett class, in my opinion. Now, maybe these guys fall apart and, you know, Shedeur Sanders gets hurt, he doesn't come back, and Carson Beck stays another year. Look, any of that stuff on the table, well, so early, any of that can happen. But I think we're going to have two or three probably first-round quarterbacks in next year's class based on what I saw watching their tape in 2023.
I mean, you had five in the top 12 picks this year, right? So, I mean, I think at best you could have Sanders, Ewers. I'm going to throw Milroe in there, Carson Beck, and maybe Jackson Dart. So, and again, this is just forecasting because of the position. Obviously, you're going to have to need five teams that need quarterbacks, which I'm sure that will surface. But you're right. I mean, if they fall apart, you're going to have maybe two. But if they play at the level they are capable of, you could have a handful.
Yeah, especially the way teams are trying to get those, you know, quarterbacks on rookie contracts and get them in the building. It's become so valuable. All right, let's jump over to wide receiver, Tony. It's another one of the flash positions that people get excited about. And boy, there are some interesting players here that I got. And what I like about the class, Tony, it's a lot of different shapes, styles, and abilities in the group. I'm going to butcher this. Teteroa McMillan from Arizona. He's kind of your big, you know, rangy guy who can get down the field, makes contested catches. I don't know how explosive and what his top speed's going to be, but he's got really good hands. He's flexible. I think he's going to be a really, really good NFL wide receiver. He comes at 6'5", 205.
He's a dominant game breaker, without a doubt. I remember watching him and texting his name to a buddy, and he said he's going to be a top, and this was early on, he said he'd be a top three receiver in 2025. The speed and quickness are not there on film, but the ability to take over a game a la Marvin Harrison, you see that with McMillan. And the fact that he not only said he stayed at Arizona was very interesting. And then, you know, like you said, different types, different playing styles. You got McMillan, and right behind him, on my board anyway, you got Luther Burden and Isaiah Bond, who are your game breakers, who are your explosive playmaking threats, the guys who can stretch the field, the guys that teams are going to have to, you know, worry about. The cornerbacks are going to have to step back another couple of yards to guard against their deep speed. Same thing with the safety. And the guys that also bring that return ability with them.
Yeah, Bond is more of your, I think, Xavier Worthy class of receiver. Again, I'm not saying he's going to run a 4-2-1, but he's your smaller speed over the top guy. And then Luther Burden, dude, he's fun. My gosh, you watch him. He's like a more athletic version of, he's 5'11", 208. He's very thick. His run after the catch is ridiculous, Tony. But it's like he's like a mini Debo. He's like Debo Samuel style, except I think he's already a little bit of a better route runner than Debo was coming out. And I think he's faster than Debo Samuel was coming out. Debo's a little thicker, I think, than Burden is. But this is a guy that out of Missouri who is going to be a really dynamic run after catch guy that team's going to be all over in this process.
And the interesting thing is they got their quarterback coming back. So, you know, it's not like he's going to have to learn with a new new quarterback. And that ability as a return specialist, especially with the new return rules in the NFL, are really going to help Burden.
Yeah, it makes a lot of people miss, get speed over the top, can do a whole lot of stuff. A couple of the guys I want to mention, Tony, Emeka Egbuka is someone that we talked a lot about this year. Kind of your solid possession guy, not super explosive, but good route runner, good hands. Evan Stewart out of Oregon, and I apologize, guys, I'm reading my notes here. I don't have all these guys memorized yet. He comes out of Oregon, 6'1", 175. Again, a little smaller, not sure about the play strength stuff, but he's really quick. He can win from the slot. He's got some speed. And then the last guy I'll mention is Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. You know, I watched a lot of him when I was watching some of the Jackson Dart stuff, Tony. He's got good size, 6'2", 205. And again, I'm not sure how explosive he is necessarily, but he's a really, really solid wide receiver. If you can kind of figure out how he's going to be effective at the NFL level coming out of that very collegey system.
A little bit streaky, started off the season really hot, then kind of disappeared. But at the top end of his game, you're looking at a potential number two receiver. You mentioned Egbuka. A lot of people thought he was going to enter the draft. Torrey Horton out of Colorado State, who I think surprised people going back to Colorado State, although he didn't have the greatest year. He's a potential day two prospect if he elevates his game. I also happen to like Jaleel Farouk of Oklahoma, more of your bigger possession type of receiver. A lot of guys who went back to keep an eye on: Daquan Felton of Virginia Tech, the Anton Wells kid, formerly of South Carolina. He transferred. Silas Bolden of Oregon State. I mean, these are guys who, if they entered this year's draft, would have been selected somewhere in day three of the draft. They go back, they have a good year. If they have good testing, they could potentially get into day two.
Speaking of transfers, Tony, at the running back position, Quinshon Judkins went to Ohio State. He was with Ole Miss last year, right, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And he's another one of these guys that's fun. He's kind of like that small, compact running back that, you know, kind of he ran a little bit. You know, he's 5'11". I don't know what his top speed's going to be. I don't think he's going to be like a sub 4.4, sub 4.5 guy. But he is, he's got good vision, Tony. He's really quick. He can make people miss. He's low to the ground. He's got contact balance. Boy, behind in that Ohio State offense, look out. Yep. He is going to have a monster season.
Just as long as the offensive line takes the next step up, and that's a perfect fit for the Chip Kelly offense because Chip Kelly's running the offense there. And, you know, again, projecting it, I don't know if there's going to be any first-round running backs. Maybe Judkins, maybe Ollie Gordon with Oklahoma State we'll talk about. But, again, there's a variety of different types of players there. It'll be interesting to see how he does in an offense at Ohio State, which is usually a downhill, pound you, you know, Big Ten sort of offense. Now they got Chip Kelly there. And they also have Trayvon Henderson, the other running back from Ohio State, who right now I project is a fourth-round pick. He surprised some people by going back, although it was a good thing he went back because he was injured last year. But he also has NFL potential. So how they use those guys, rotate them, only one football, you got two very talented running backs there.
Yeah, Judkins checked in. He's listed at 5'11", 210. I buy the 210. I'm not sure I buy the 211, the 5'11 part of that equation, Tony. Like, if he shows up at the Senior Bowl next year, wherever he goes at the combine, wherever you see him first, and he checks in at like 5'9.5", that would not surprise me watching him on tape. So I'm curious to see height-wise. Ollie Gordon, a little bit bigger, Tony, 6'1", 211. And I think he's just a really solid back. Again, I'm not sure he has the explosive to get into the first round, but he breaks tackles. He's got some power to him. I'm not sure what his top-end speed is. I saw him get caught from behind a couple times, but he's a really good running back.
More of your downhill between the tackles type of ball carrier. Not going to turn the perimeter. You know, plays in that in the Big 12 where it's primarily offense. But again, he's got decent size. I'd like to see him run with better lean. But I think he's, you know, with the size and the production, the ability to grind that out on the inside, teams are going to like him.
You mentioned two guys. Donovan Edwards went back. Kyle Monegai from Rutgers went back. Two guys to watch. And I'm going to throw Trevor Etienne out there too, Tony. I know he's not on your list, but he's Travis Etienne's younger brother. I loved him on Florida the last couple of years. He wasn't draft eligible. He transferred to Georgia. So I'm really curious to see how he does in front of usually a pretty good Georgia offensive line. I think he is a chance of the big year to kind of rocket up these boards a little bit.
You know, you mentioned Menege in passing. It's interesting because in the scouting world, Menege is kind of an afterthought. He's a late round free agent type, but you watch him. And all the guy does, I mean, Rutgers has no passing game there. The quarterback was not good. And Menege was the guy that carried the offense on the shoulders and did a good job of it. I think he's a Blake Corum type in the sense that, you know, he's just real good at everything he does. And he's probably going to come in this season with scouts with late round grades, but I think he could make a move up draft boards. A couple other guys, Lawrence Toffoli of Florida State is a guy who I really like. Now he's the number one guy with Benson gone. And Roydell Williams of Alabama, another real good ball carrier.
I'll throw in Jaden Ott of Cal as well, who I think has a chance to do a little something. Good top end speed there. I got to be honest with you, Tony. I did not watch any of the tight ends except for Lovecraft out of Michigan, who I think has a real good chance to be a good NFL player. I like him a lot as a potential two-way player that can do both. But you have a couple tight ends ranked right near close to him at the top of those tight end boards.
Yeah, well, Arondi Gatson of Syracuse, he's sort of your Johnny Wilson type from Florida State. You know, a really big pass catcher who is a good college receiver who I think is going to project a tight end. He was a guy who highly rated. I think he blew his knee out second or third game of the year. Going to go back to Syracuse. Mitchell Evans of Notre Dame is your typical Notre Dame tight end. I like bringing Stuhl of Clemson a lot, although he's not at Clemson anymore. I believe he transferred. This transfer portal makes the scouting even more difficult. But he's a big, tall guy who catches the ball well, who shows the ability to split the seam. Luke Lachey of Iowa comes back off of an injury. He was a good player with LaPorter and with Eric All, and then he got injured. If he is able to get back to prior health, I have a fourth round grade on him. Wouldn't surprise me to see him slide into the third round. Bryce Corn of Mississippi went from Memphis to Mississippi, really stood out in that bowl game, decided to go back for another year. He's a bigger, more of an intermediate pass catching threat. And then Tyler Warren of Penn State, similar to Price Corn, more of your intermediate pass catching threat. both are good blockers.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let's jump over to the offensive line here, Tony. This is not going to be, at least I would be surprised if it's as banner of a class as this last group was, where you almost had 10 offensive tackles going round one. But LSU is a pair of guys that could easily be first-round picks. Will Campbell, I think, their starting left tackle, has a chance to be the first player off the board. I think he's that good. He's a good athlete, Tony, and he always gets his hands in the right place. He's very, very consistent. And then the guy across from him, Emory Jones, right, I believe is his name. Bigger guy. Emory, I think, Jones. He's a little bit more raw at right tackle, but he has a lot of ability. And then Kelvin Banks out of Texas, I think, is a guy that maybe not the best athlete, but he's certainly good enough, and he's gotten the job done there at tackle.
Yeah, I think you're looking at three first-rounders there. But, you know, you mentioned Campbell. He's going to be a very early pick. I mean, he is going to be – could go earlier than when Alt was selected this year, and Alt was the fifth pick of the draft. A couple of the guys, Ernest Green out of Georgia. Keep an eye on Anthony Belton of North Carolina State. Belton came into the season with high grades. He's a phenomenal athlete who's learning to be an offensive lineman. He's all over the place with his balance, but I mean, he's in excess of 320 pounds, shows the ability to get on the second level, moves very well. He's just got to complete his game. Also, Jack Nelson out of Wisconsin has played left tackle. Seriously considered entering this year's draft. Had he entered this year's draft, Belton is a day two pick. Nelson is a day two pick. He decided himself he wanted to go back and try and become a first rounder in 2025. And I do think he's got that ability. Been a very consistent, dominant offensive lineman out of Wisconsin. And as we all know, they've put a lot of good offensive linemen into the first round in the NFL draft.
They do, absolutely. And then in terms of the inside guys, Tony, I'll just throw a couple names out there. I'll let you give your take on them real quick. Connerly from Oregon, he plays tackle for them, but I think he projects inside when he gets to the NFL level. Donovan Jackson is a guy from Ohio State that we thought might come out this year, but he decided to go back to school. And then Alabama has a big guard. You have a guy on your list listed here out of Alabama, Tyler Booker, and that's who I have as well, who is just a mountain of a man. I mean, this guy's gigantic. He moves people, and those are some of the top interior guards in the draft class.
Right. Donovan Jackson entering the 2023 season, some people thought if he had a good year, he could be a first-round pick. He was terrible. I mean, he was just not good. If he entered the draft, he's a third, potentially fourth-round pick. Went back to school. Good for him. He's got that potential. Just look at what people were saying about him before the 2023 season. A couple other guys that we should – Joshua Gray, who played left tackle at Oregon State on the other side from Fuega. I mean, he is a athletic, mobile pass blocker who's a little bit shorter, project him the guard. Sal Wormley out of Penn State, who decided to go back for another year. More, you know, you're talking about day three guys, but in Wormley, you're talking about a guy that can play on Sunday.
Absolutely. Don't forget, folks, draft season is brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit moodys.com to learn more. All right, Tony, let's jump to defense now. We've hit all the offensive spots, and this could be a draft class where you have the top player in the draft class being an edge rusher, Tony. Most people think that it's Tennessee edge rusher James Pierce, who, you know, it's a surprise. I watched him, and before I looked at his measurables, I'm watching him on tape, and I'm like, you know what? It's funny. You know, he looks a little, you know, undersized maybe. But I'm like, all right, 242 actually isn't bad. I thought he might be 230, but he's got a really good win rate. His advanced metrics are good. His get off is excellent. He's got some agility, and he flashed some upper body strength at the end of the year. He had a power rush against the Alabama left tackle late in the year that I'm like, all right, if you can develop that a little bit in addition to your athleticism, we might have something here.
A lot of upside. Guy can play out of a three-point stance or standing over tackle. I think the reason why Pierce is rated so highly is people project what he's going to be at the end of the 2024 season. If he was able to enter the draft this year, not going to be a first-round pick, but people like the explosion and the game-disrupting ability that he brings.
And then the guy we talked about a lot, JT Tuimalau, who's a little bit different, Tony. He's more of your like bigger physical guy. He's not going to test out, out of the stadium in Indianapolis like Pierce will.
Very explosive. A guy who's also athletic, sort of not as athletic as Chop Robinson, but in the sense that he's not just a pass rusher. He can make plays out in the space. Had some big plays at specific times last year for Ohio State in that Michigan game. That entire Michigan defense, Ohio State defense was spotty, but Tua Maiola, you know, came up big in the important spot. I mean, most all of those guys from Ohio State went back, except for Marvin Harrison, obviously. And you know, Tua Maiola is going to will lead that defense, and he's a terrific player.
Yeah, he absolutely is. I'm with you on that. Ashton Gelat out of Louisville is someone we talked about this year, Tony. He'll be in next year's class. It'll be fun. I'm going to start mixing in some of the edgy guys, some of the outside linebackers on your list, just because they're going to rush the passer a little bit. But Michael Williams out of Georgia, Tony, this is a guy, when I watched him, I wrote down, again, he doesn't look 265 on tape, but that's what he's listed at. And for a guy that moves that well at 265, raw power rusher with big-time athletic upside. So he could be the next big-time Georgia defender, I think, if he kind of trims up a lot of his technique, uses his hands a little bit better. Because he's got the size and athleticism, Tony, to be a really good pro.
Yeah, I a 2025 mock draft that I did will be posted on Sports Skeeter real soon. And he was the last pick around one. So he's entering the season as a potential first-round pick. It's just a matter of, can he, you know, take his game to the next level? Can he get a little bit stronger?
All right, let's go to a couple of these hybrid guys, and it's Patrick Payton out of Florida State. 6'5", 239, very quick and twitchy, a lot of speed, flash using his length a little bit. But again, looks like a very slender guy to me. I want to see more of a burst finishing. And then another similar guy to him is Abdul Carter, who's 6'3", 250. And with those two Penn State edge rushers last year, Tony, with Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson, he was standing up behind the middle of the line a lot. He was almost used as a stand-up joker blitzer, but you certainly saw his raw athleticism, where if they put him on the edge next year and he develops a little bit, he's got all the tools you want for him to develop into one of those guys that can win off the edge with speed.
But he's also, in my opinion, my form of Dallas Turner, in the sense that everybody's going to brand him as an edge rusher, yet he shows the ability to be a real good linebacker, to play the run, to get off the line in pass coverage and get depth on his pass drops, shows ability in pursuit. So he's got a lot of upside potential. It's a matter of him completing his game, but he's more than just an edge rusher. I think he's a three-down linebacker.
And I'll throw Jack Sawyer in there too, Tony. He's a little bit bigger. If you want a bigger defensive end, 6'4", 265, you have him in your outside linebacker category as well. To me, he's just a really solid player, Tony. Like, I don't think he's going to test as well as, like, the Nick Boses of the world and stuff like that. But he plays the run. He rushes the passer. He's a solid all-around player. And I think, you know, whether it's in the first round next year and he gets drafted, or if he slides into the early second, you know, we'll see what kind of year he has for Ohio State. But I think he's going to be a very, very solid pro.
Needs to up his game and play more consistently. Same thing with Tua Maiola. Was, you know, streaky last year, would disappear for stretches. I'm going to throw in Tyrone Powell of Rutgers. Keep an eye on this guy. Decided to go back when he could have entered the draft. 6'4", 245 pounds, runs in the 4.6s, can rush the passer. Rutgers uses him more as a traditional linebacker off the line and in pursuit, and he does an outstanding job. This guy's got great potential. This guy's a real good football player, and he has incredible measurables. But what happens is, because he's used as more of a traditional linebacker at Rutgers, people really don't pay attention to him. But he's well-known in the scouting community. Some people have said he could be a first-round pick. I don't know about that. But I think he's definitely, if he has the season, if he just matches what he did in 2023, I think Powell is a day two pick in the 2025 draft.
Yeah, I'll throw out one favorite that I watched, Tony. Nick Scorton, who was with Purdue last year, transferred to Texas A&M, 6'4", 260. He's got a filthy inside spin move off the edge. He has the size to play the run. Very twitchy. I'm curious to see how he does going to Texas A&M, who, by the way, just looking at it, Texas A&M has some players, man. Like, they got some players in the transfer portal, Tony. That team, I think, might make a little noise next year if they can figure out their quarterback spot.
And the coach as well. Now, they may have a good coach now, because, you know, they always underachieved under Jimbo Fisher. But they also lost a lot of players who left Texas A&M. But they, you know, they've got the money there. They can recruit these guys with the NIL. I think it's just a matter of that coach putting the pieces together and getting them to play to their level of ability.
And we talked about it being a good edge class, Tony. This is a hell of a defensive tackle class. And I do not say this lightly, because I'm watch Dexter Lawrence here every day, and I watch him play the way he plays. Watching Deion Walker from Kentucky on tape, he reminded me of Dexter Lawrence. The guy checks in at 348 pounds at 6'6". They played him on the edge sometimes, Tony. He's such a good athlete. He plays up and down the line. He's gigantic. He's powerful. He uses his hands well. He's quick. This guy is an absolute monster. I think he's going to test really well for a guy his size. I think he could easily be a top five pick in this year's draft.
Going to have to play at a high level every single down because if a guy that big starts to take plays off,
yeah,
it's going to raise some red flags and there's going to be a lot of questions asked. I agree with everything you said, but it's just a matter of him, you know, just dominating the action and playing hard, even when the game, when the outcome of the game is already at hand and everyone knows what it's going to be.
You know, we've seen some solid players coming out of Michigan on the defensive line, Tony, but here comes a couple of guys that can, I think, have star-level potential in Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant. Two guys who, again, much like Walker, you watch them on tape and you're like, wow, these guys move really well. And then you're even more impressed when you look it up and Mason Graham weighs in at 318 pounds, but he moves around like somebody that's 290 pounds. And then Kenneth Grant's 339, and yeah, he moves around somebody that looks like he's 305. Those two guys are really good players, and both of them, I think, could be first-round picks.
And I think Grant, I'm expecting Grant to take his game to a next level. He's explosive. He's mean. He's nasty. He's got a closing burst. He shows himself to be a good pass rusher for such a big guy. He made some impactful plays last year at Michigan. Presently, I have Graham rated slightly higher.
Me too.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Grant is the higher rated player when we get towards the 2025 draft because of the size, because of the upside potential. And I believe he'll take his game to the next level.
And then one guy I know you were a big fan of this year that went back to school is Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State.
Who, you know, really wasn't supposed to be the guy. Everyone expected it to be Michael Hall. Michael Hall disappeared for long stretches, and it was Williams who was the guy on the inside. The teams were doubling. Teams were concentrating on because he was constantly disrupting the plays. Not the biggest guy in the world, but strong, quick, and very explosive.
And then two other guys, Tony, again, this is a really good class. Nazir Stackhouse, the big guy out of Georgia. Yeah. He's a guy we thought might have come out this past year. He went back. I think he's a good player. And then Walter Nolan out of Mississippi, who I really wasn't that familiar with. And I thought he plays a little high, but 6'4", 290, you know, he can shed blockers. I think he makes good plays versus the run. He has some quick twitch. He gets upfield, gets good punch with his hands. He's another guy that I think is going to make an argument to be in a early day two type of pick. And maybe if he puts it all together, chance to be an early, late first round pick as well.
Athletic, moves very well. He's got to learn to play with leverage. He's got to get a little bit stronger, but he has the frame to add some width to it. Have to mention Dante Corleone. If nothing else, he's got the best name at the defensive tackle class moving towards the draft. But he's another quick, explosive guy who caused a disruption up for Cincinnati and was a terrific player. Surprised a lot of people by going back to school.
Your thoughts on the linebacker class, Tone?
You know, I actually like it. I mean, first you got to start with on the inside, Harold Perkins, who is going to be called an edge rusher. But again, I mean, he's a guy who plays the run well. He's outstanding in pursuit. He's caused an impact the past 2 years at LSU. He runs to the ball incredibly well. He's nasty. He's explosive. Danny Stutzman out of Oklahoma, another inside middle linebacker type who shows some ability in coverage. I think there are a lot of good off-the-ball linebackers on the outside. Barrett Carter out of Clemson, who I think surprised a lot of people going back to school this year. Samuel Mondone Jr. from Georgia. Again, gave all indications that he was going to enter the draft, would have been a second-round pick, then reverse course. I'm sure he got a very nice NIL deal. And got to keep an eye on Power Eccles out of North Carolina. Right now I have him graded as a third-round choice. A little bit smaller, but very explosive, covers a lot of area, goes sideline to sideline, good in coverage as well, fires up the field and gives a lot of effort defending the run.
All right, let's go to cornerback, Tony. And this guy might not be the highest rated corner, but I think he's the most interesting player at the position because he plays more than one position. So let's start with Travis Hunter here out of Colorado. Missed some games last year due to injury, played almost full-time in wide receiver and corner, which is unprecedented. I think he's probably a little bit more polished at corner, though I think some of the technique stuff he still needs to work on. But his instincts, Tony, of reading the quarterback, jumping routes, he has hands like a wide receiver, makes plays on the ball. He reminds me a lot of the way Trayvon Diggs plays, to be quite honest with you. And I know it'll be interesting to see how teams view him in terms of position and whether or not he could be a two-way player in the pros.
Yeah, very explosive, very athletic, fast. I think the problem is you know, being a two-way player on the college level probably detracts him from being great at one position, you know, but having to play cornerback and receiver takes away from his cornerback skills. I agree with you. I think it'll be cornerback because of the size, because of the priority position, but he's got a ton of upside. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's one of the guys that Deion Sanders, along with his son, says, well, he's only going to play at certain cities at the next level. That's a story to keep an eye on.
I will believe that when I see it.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah, then you got two other corners, Tony, who probably, I don't know how I should phrase this necessarily, maybe more polished prospects at that position, Benjamin Morrison and Will Johnson. Morrison out of Notre Dame, Johnson out of Michigan. Both those guys, it was fun watching them guard Marvin Harrison Jr. last year. Good Ohio State tape for both of them. They both gave up a couple plays to Marvin Harrison Jr., which is not a surprise because Marvin Harrison Jr. is really, really good. Will Johnson also got beaten on a couple double moves by Roma Dunze in the national title game for Michigan. But both those guys have top 10 potential.
And you remember, whether it's Hunter, whether it's Morrison, whether it's Will Johnson, we're grading these guys as true sophomores.
Yep.
So, you know, now they're going to be third-year juniors. I love Will Johnson. I think Will Johnson can be a very early pick in the draft. I like his skills. I love his ability to make plays with his back to the ball. He doesn't do a lot of face guarding. He gets his head back around. He does a great job positioning himself against opponents to make plays. Ditto for Benjamin Morrison of Notre Dame. When you watched Notre Dame last year, Morrison was consistently the best defenders, and they had a lot of guys who either drafted or signed as priority free agents this past year. They also have Howard Cross, who we didn't mention, or Cross the third next year. But it was Morrison who was consistently the best defender on the field for Notre Dame. Really like his ball skills a lot.
And then we have an interesting safety class, Tony. I know Malachi Starks is a guy that a lot of people like. Rod Moore out of Michigan. I think Lathan Ransom was a transfer right to Ohio State this offseason. So along with Andrew Makuba, you have a lot of safeties here that you think could be pretty good pros.
Yeah, I like Rod Moore a lot. There was some talk that he would have entered last year or this past draft. Probably would have been a day two pick. You know, a good ball hawking safety. Malachi Starks, I mean, Georgia just continually produces top safeties. Makuba, who a lot of people thought was going to enter the draft, he didn't, and he transferred. He's a good sideline to sideline safety. Lathan Ransom, who I don't think he had the year last year that he expected at Ohio State, but he's got day two potential.
So he's not the transfer. Ohio State got some kind of transfer at safety. I'll have to go and find the name.
They got the kid from Alabama. They got the kid who was a freshman All-American from Alabama, who's now there with Ransom. Ransom's been there for 3 years. Ransom had a good game. Ransom really stood out in that Georgia game in the playoffs that year. The kid that Alabama got that was a trade was Caleb Downs, transferred there from Alabama, was a freshman All-American. A lot of people were surprised when he transferred there. But dare I say, Ohio State has opened up that checkbook for NIL deals.
Well, it doesn't help when you lose Nick Saban as your head coach, right? The guy that recruited him. So he's not draft eligible yet this year, Tony?
Caleb Downs is a true true sophomore, so no.
Well, that'll do it.
Unless he spent a year at a military academy or prep school, then he would be 3 years removed from high school. So,
and this is why, folks, it's so hard to keep track of what kids are eligible, which ones aren't. It's just really, really difficult now. All right, Tony, I'm looking at your overall top 30 here, and I think we mentioned by name and talked specifically about pretty much everyone on this list. The only guy I'm looking at we maybe didn't mention is Takario Davis, the corner out of Arizona that you're a big fan of.
Takario Davis and Landon Jackson, defensive end from Arkansas, who is a large guy who's a terrific pass rusher. Davis is a solid cover corner, does a good job making plays with his back to the ball. The other kid is Jabbar Muhammad who's at Oregon this year, played Washington last year, and he was a terrific cornerback at Washington last year.
Wow, he went from Washington to Oregon?
Yep.
That's and, some fight words right there. Whew.
It is. It's been, well, again, the Washington coach is now at Alabama, right? So, you know, when the coach leaves, it's easier for these guys, or gives these guys sort of a boot in the rear end to potentially transfer, see if there's a better deal out there. But anyway, Muhammad's not the tallest guy in the world. It's like a Dory Jackson, if you will. That's a good comparison. He's a shorter guy, but he's a terrific cover corner.
All right, Tony, this is the last time we're going to be talking, or at least on the air. I'm sure we'll be texting each other and stuff like that over the course until February, when we start getting ready for the college football season. Another great draft season.
February.
Here. Huh?
February.
I said February?
Yeah.
I'm shot. August, as we get ready for the college football season. We'll talk in August. Gosh. It's been a long few months, folks.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Exactly.
Give me either your final thoughts on the 2024. You can look ahead to 2025, Tony. The floor is yours. Give me final thoughts until we talk again in August.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of downtime now. I mean, I'm sure like you, what'll happen is a couple of weeks I'll get stir crazy, start pulling out the tape and start going over it again to get ready for 2025. I mean, it's fun to project now, but again, you know, we could have a good quarterback class next year when you look at it, when you look at the upside potential. And when people were saying, I hate to be redundant, when people were saying, well, you got to get your quarterback this year because next year's class doesn't look that good. I'd pull back on the, I'd put the brakes on that and pull back from on the throttle on that sort of comment, because I think the quarterback class of 2025 has got a lot of upside potential. Whether they meet that potential remains to be seen.
And by the way, Denzel Burke is another corner we didn't mention, but we talked about him a lot last year. He went back to Ohio State, so he'll be in the draft class again this year. And Tony, I think we're looking at kind of the blue blood programs again, right? They're going to be good in college football this year. I am far from a college football expert. I can just go by the type of who has the best players. And I think Ohio State's going to be really, really good. I think they have a good chance to knock Michigan off that perch in the Big Ten. I mean, we'll see. It's a new era at Alabama. We don't know for sure. I don't see as many Georgia defenders on our prospect list as we usually do. So I'm curious to see what that program looks like. And then Texas and Texas A&M and, you know, those other schools with the conference realignment. It's going to be interesting to see how all this kind of plays out. And what really I think is a transition year in college football with the new conferences, no more Jim Harbaugh, no more Nick Saban. How is everything going to look when everything kind of settles in this year in college football?
And it can be crazy with, you know, USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington now in the Big Ten. You know, now those teams got to make cross-country trips for some games, which, you know, is going to be something to watch. My own opinion, right now, looking at it from the outside in, I think Mississippi is a sleeper team. I think they brought a lot of people back. You know, they seem to be headed in the right direction. I think the fact that Nick Saban's not going to be there in Alabama, we expect them to take a step back. There's a door opening for Mississippi. So I think that's a sleeper team to keep an eye on.
That's a great call. And their offense, if their defense can keep up with their offense, I think they have a real chance to win the SEC, Tony. I think that's a really good poll. I'm with you on that. All right, Tone, enjoy your next couple months off from doing this. At least I know you're doing a lot of other work, obviously, but keep up the good work and we'll catch up with you in August.
See you, John. Thanks.
That's our final 2024 version of draft season. Of course, it was all brought to you by Moody's. We thank them for sponsoring us the last few months throughout this draft process. Moody's, decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. For Tony Pauline from Sports Kita, I am John Schmelk. Thanks for being with us all year long, folks. We've put some good numbers up this year. We appreciate all our listeners on the podcast platforms, on the Giants app, and of course on the Giants YouTube channel. Subscribe, and we'll be back with you in August as we get ready for the 2024 football season.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.